this opportunity to share God's word with you. That takes a great deal of trust to allow someone in front of the congregation and rightly handle the word of God, and I appreciate that. And I hope I do that properly tonight, and I am open to any correction of anything I say this evening, if anything's out of harmony of God's will or word. Tonight I thought we would look at Matthew 13, 24 through 30, the parable of the weeds. It's such a rich study in how the evil one seeks to destroy the people of God and how the Lord protects and cares for his people. This parable is a reflection of the present and future state of the world, including the Lord's church. So I'm going to start off by reading verses 24 through 30 in chapter 13, and then I'll take each verse verse by verse and break it down. If you'd like to follow along, we'll be starting in verse 24. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them.' Let both grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" So let's go back to verse 24. "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field." Well, to gain a little more understanding of what this verse is saying, we just need to look over in verses 37 and 38 of chapter 13, where Jesus explains the parable of the weeds to his disciples. Jesus said, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, the field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. So the sower is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the seed are his obedient disciples, and the field is the world that we live in." Verse 25. "But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat and went away. The men who worked the fields had fallen asleep, and the enemy slipped in unannounced." Right away, you can't help but notice the importance of not dropping your guard, or metaphorically speaking, falling asleep. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Verse 25 represents the condition of both the world and the Lord's church. The world, as we know, contains both good and bad, so since the people who make up the Lord's church exist in the world, it also has a mixture of both good and bad. We are easily tempted and distracted by the things of the world, whether they be trials and hardships or wants and desires. The devil knows every one of our weaknesses. Since we are easily tempted, it makes it easy for the enemy to slip in unannounced, sow the weeds, and go on his way. And once the seeds of sin has taken root within our hearts, corruption is inevitable. Verse 26. "So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. In the beginning of sowing, the weeds went unnoticed because they looked identical to the wheat. It wasn't until the wheat became fruitful that the weeds were identified. This is exactly how it is in the world. People can present themselves as being something that they are not. It's not until we see them in action or their fruitfulness that we learn just what type of person we are dealing with. Matthew 13:38 says, "The weeds are the sons of the evil one." Know for sure, the enemy is counting on our inability to identify the weeds early, to allow himself time to carry out his dirty deeds. So we need to be sober-minded and watchful for our sake and the sake of the Lord's church as well. Before we move on to the next verse, I'd like to identify what type of weed this was believed to be historically, along with some facts that might help us have a deeper understanding of this parable. Historically, it was common after a farmer planted his wheat, which was a very important crop in Israel, for an enemy seeking revenge to come out at night and plant weeds within that crop. As American citizens, we feel far removed from such acts. But in the time Jesus spoke this parable, it was so common that the Roman government made laws to prevent this from happening. The weed commonly used in this act of revenge was called the bearded darnel, which belongs to the ryegrass family. To make things more difficult for the farmer, it is in its early stages, this weed looks identical to wheat. Only when it matures does the darnel show its true colors, by being shorter and the color of its grains being grayer than wheat. The other problem with this weed is that it is poisonous. This weed was a parasite to wheat fields. The bearded darnel is known for its characteristics of making someone feel poisoned with drunkenness. This is alluded to by its Latin name, timulentus, which means drunk. It has also been known to cause death. The only way to save the crop was for the farmer and his laborers to go out and root up the weeds, bind them in bundles, and burn them. I believe this information will help us grasp a little deeper understanding of why Jesus would use this parable as a comparison to wickedness in the world, along with the wickedness among the people of his church. This weed has characteristics of making people feel drunk, much like the way we may feel drunk on our own fleshly desires, causing ourselves to lose control. Anyone who consumes this weed, it becomes poison to their body, just like the way sin becomes poison to our soul. It also presents a great danger, not only to the world, but to the Lord's church as well. At the time Jesus taught this parable, it was a very real and present danger to the lives of those who heard it. So we're going to continue back in verse 27. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?" So here we see the servants, the workers of the field, questioning the master about the quality of seed he used. So the workers who had fallen asleep, allowing the enemy to slip in unannounced, plant weeds among the wheat, and now they are blaming the master for using poor quality seed. This is exactly how people respond to the evil and hardship they face in life. "Why, Lord, are you punishing me?" is often what people think whenever they're facing trials, when instead they should be asking themselves, "Why did I make poor, hasty decisions that led me to such a difficult time in my life?" Another common complaint today is, if God is so loving and merciful, why does he allow so much evil to exist? When the real question is, why do we commit acts of evil? Sadly, this attitude can carry over into the way we view our worship service in the Lord's church. It's easy to say the reason congregational numbers have dwindled over the years is because the worship service described in the New Testament is out of date and too traditional. This is why terms like traditional service and contemporary service exist in the religious world. So this all came about somewhere along the way when man decided that the way the Lord and his apostles gave direction to the disciples and proper worship during the early stages of the church has now become boring and unappealing, rendering itself ineffective and in need of an overhaul. Clearly, the problem doesn't come from the divine design of New Testament worship. The problem is that entertainment has become more valuable than simply studying the Word of God. Often when problems come up, we look to outside sources to lay the blame on, when we should be looking at ourselves for the cause. What we need to take away from verse 27, if anything at all, is that Jesus Christ is not our scapegoat. He is our Lord and Savior, who is deserving of our deepest heartfelt worship and praise. And if the servants of the field truly had understanding of who their master was, they would have known without a doubt whatever is wrong in the world or the church did not come from their master. Verse 28. He said to them, "An enemy has done this." So the servants said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" Here we see the eagerness of the servants to either correct what they see as a failure of their master or to make right the damage caused when they had fallen asleep. Even though an enemy has slipped in and spoiled the crop, the master recognizes that the servants are demonstrating an unwise zeal as a response to this. Another example of unwise zeal takes place in John 18, where Jesus is betrayed by Jesus and taken into custody. Verses 10 through 11, we see Peter's response. Then Simon Peter, having his sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So with love and good intention, Peter was unknowingly standing in the way of God's will. Jesus, the master teacher, had to rebuke Peter by asking him, "Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" Which is to say to Peter, "You will not stand in my way of fulfilling what my Father has sent me here to do. Step aside." In the next verse, 29, we're going to see the master prevent the servants from going on into the field and removing the weeds in order to protect the wheat. Verse 29, "But he said, no less than gathering the weeds, you root up the wheat along with them." The master sees his servants reacting with an emotionally charged, unwise zeal that could potentially cause more harm than good. It's not always easy for us to identify evil. Sometimes it's packaged in a way that makes it very difficult to distinguish good from bad. Even though the weeds pose a serious threat to the wheat, no human has the skill, the skillful wisdom, the surgical precision to carry out the separation. Any attempt would not only be deadly to the weeds, but would also destroy the wheat. Knowing this, we need to be careful not to carry out any acts of gross injustice against our neighbors. Instead, we need to continue to trust and fear the Lord until the day of harvest, which will be the final judgment. Matthew 25:32, "Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats." It is the Lord alone who has the wisdom and authority to separate the sheep from the goats, or in this case, the weeds from the wheat. Verse 30. "Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned. But gather the wheat into my barn." Both good and bad share the world and all the blessings God has put in place to sustain life and the universe. Matthew 5:45. "For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Though the evil ones share in the life-sustaining blessings that God showers upon his creation, on judgment day, the wicked will be separated from the faithful and each will be openly identified." It's important that we do not grow weary as we see the world promote and celebrate wickedness. God's judgment is not hasty, but it is coming in his time. 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." So what we see here is that the Lord wishes that the weeds of the field would be transformed into fruitful wheat. This is possible with the person who is willing to work on themselves through the guidance of God's word. Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." The image Jesus uses in this parable is a common everyday example of planting, harvesting, and sorting good fruit from bad fruit. Just as nature teaches us to be patient, the patience and long-suffering of God teaches us to guard the word he has planted in our hearts. Always being watchful and aware of the evil and destructive forces of sin that seek to destroy it. The sower sows the good seed so that the kingdom will spread throughout the whole world. The seed is the gospel, and what grows from that is the new life of the recipient. We become the fruitful wheat of the harvest through our obedience of the gospel. And the amazing thing about the word of God is, as we mature and become fruitful, we then ourselves become the sowers of the seed. Side by side, the master of the field sows the good seed and the enemy sows the bad seed. One deposits righteous truth in the hearts of people, making them children of the Lord's kingdom. The other gives out selfish desires, lust of the flesh, lust of the world, and destruction, making them children of evil. There are two groups of people represented in this parable, and they will be distinguished by their conduct. This is what it all comes down to. Are you a weed hiding in a field of wheat? Or are you wheat soaking up the nutrients of the Lord's word until the fruitful harvest? On that day of harvest, we will each receive our reward according to our conduct, and the word of the Lord will accomplish its purpose. Isaiah 55:10-11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So if you're a Christian and you've allowed the enemy to slip in on you unannounced, tearing away your fruit for the harvest, hope is available. You can come forward and repent of your failures, accessing the love and encouragement from your brothers and sisters, and remember, forgiveness awaits you through the prayers to our Heavenly Father. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you too can come as you come to an understanding that you have unknowingly spent your life as a weed, removed and separated from the Master's eternal harvest. You can be replanted as a fruitful member of the Lord's kingdom. So if you have not taken the opportunity to render yourself as a Christian before the throne of Christ, please take this opportunity to get started down the narrow path that leads to eternal salvation by coming forward as we stand and sing.